Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim here with Ed. Steve Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Steve Jordahl. My pronouns are Your Majesty and Your Royal Highness.
So we've got to use those.
That's what I prefer. This is the preferred pronoun.
You identify as as royalty.
Why not?
You know, that's not very popular right now, Steve. I got to be honest with you. Statues of you are being torn down all over the country.
Even as we speak.
True that, huh?
Hey, by the way, did you guys see what Dan Cathy said?
I did.
He's the Chick-fil-A CEO. The headline on the Business Insider website says, Chick-fil-A CEO urged white people to take action against racism and said he does not blame looters after multiple locations were damaged last week. And I also saw Dan Cathy on a video segment, I don't know if we talked about it, where he was doing a round table with Louis Giglio, the pastor from Atlanta, and Lecrae, the rapper. I don't know if he called himself a Christian rapper or a rapper that's Christian, the singer.
Right.
The rapper on a video last week. But I was kind of surprised that Dan Cathy would say he doesn't blame the people who looted. What does that mean? What do you think that means? What does it mean other than what he said?
Right? Yeah, I think the way that's being explained by those who say I don't blame them is these folks talking about black people, and not all black people. In fact, a very small percentage of black people were actually doing the looting and the arson. The majority of those who were protesting, you know, I saw lots of videos saying, you know, listen, we don't want people looting and burning cars because that reflects on us and our cause. But I think what Dan Cathy would say is they're so angry and so frustrated. What do you expect them to do? They're going to take out their frustrations on the environment directly in front of them.
He's excusing vandalism and looting. Here's what he said, Dan Cathy, CEO. And he's a smart guy. I mean, he's the CEO of one of the largest food chains in America. He said, quote, my plea would be for the white people, rather than point fingers at that kind of criminal effort, talking about looting and burning down stores now. That's my commentary. Back to what Dan Cathy said. He said, my plea will be for the white people rather than point fingers at the kind of criminal at that kind of criminal effort would be to see the level of frustration and exasperation and almost a sense of hopelessness that exists among some of those activists within the African American community. End of quote.
The cynical part of me wonders if he's not just trying to put that out there so they don't burn down his Chick-fil-A's.
Well, that's not going to stop them, and that's a bunch of hogwash. I get tired of that kind of thing because looting a store, looting an Apple store, has nothing to do with what you're protesting. Burning down buildings has nothing to do with what you're protesting. A lot of these businesses were owned by black people in Minneapolis, for example. So what in the world is the CEO of a major corporation doing, saying, I understand your frustration? No, you don't. The frustration of people was expressing itself in protesting, not going and stealing big screen TVs from the local Best Buy. And let me say something else about Dan Cathy now that I am firmly on my soapbox. He said at this meeting at Louis Giglio's church, this little round table discussion, that he believes that white privilege is a real thing. And so did Louis Giglio. And I say, baloney on both of you guys. You do not believe in white privilege. If you did believe in white privilege, Louis Giglio, because white privilege teaches that the wealth we have as white people came on the backs of slavery. So what you own is illegitimate. It was stolen. So Louis Giglio, if you really believe that, you should advocate for the selling of your church and your home. Give the proceeds of the sale of your church to black churches. Give the proceeds of the sale of your home to black people. And Dan, Kathy, you ought to immediately set forth a plan to liquidate Chick-fil-A as a corporation and give the money to black businessmen. If you don't do that, you don't believe in white privilege, except as a photo op. So that's what I have to say. It's the same thing with climate. People who say, I believe in climate change and we need to do something. And it's usually these entertainers who encourage people to go out to the movies with the lights blaring and using gas to go to their movies. You don't believe in it. You don't believe in climate change, or you'd tell people stay home, use candles, don't use electricity, don't come see my movies. So I get tired of the virtue signaling from people like Louis Giglio and Dan Cathy. Shame on these people. You want to help black people and poor minorities in this country? Then, as I saw one person suggest, Dan Cathy, why don't you start donating money to inner city schools? That might do something to help people get out of poverty.
Also, I found it humorous, I'm sure you are, till I ask you another question, and you go off. I also saw Lecrae. Many of our listeners are familiar with that name. He was the third person in the Dan Cathy, Louis Giglio trio there that decided to talk about white privilege and such. And Lecrae, the black rapper, he was asked about examples of I guess
white privilege.
White privilege and how he doesn't have it. And he said, well, when I go to Wyoming, I can't find hair products for black men
in stores.
In stores. No, I'm serious. He wasn't joking. That was his first example of how he is discriminated against. And the second example was when he's flying in a jet, and he tries to find a movie, he can't find a black leading actor in many movies. And that was his second example of oppression in modern-day America. I'm sure all three of these men are wonderful people. I'm not denying that whatsoever. And they're Christians. They love they have a life testimony.
Right.
So I'm not questioning that, okay? But when you say things like they're saying, which add fuel to the race war, if you want to put it that way, that seems to be brewing.
I don't think it's just
they're Christians. They need to be held to account for it. So if you're going to talk about systemic racism, Lecrae, and the best you can do is you can't find hair products in Wyoming for a black man, or you can't find the movie with Denzel Washington or Morgan Freeman that day on the airplane, you need to come up with something better
right
than that.
Especially because Wyoming, I have no idea what the percentage of black
people. They have six black people in Wyoming.
Come on now. Come on, Lecrae. Okay.
So I don't know that they do. But, I mean, I'm just saying to myself, are you hearing what you're saying? So anyway, a lot of this that goes on, even in the evangelical church, is for show. It's very shallow thinking. The theology is horrible.
Right.
And it's a lot of it is so that these people can not be criticized by the world. They can join in.
Right.
So they weren't these guys weren't talking about systemic, quote, systemic. By the way, you can never get to the end of systemic racism. If that's what your goal is, we're going to be here 100 years from now going, I'm still on a knee. Because you know what? Steve, you can't get to the end of that rope.
I would submit to you that there is no more systemic racism. It's not embedded in the system. In other words, it's not legal. Yes, there may be people who are racist or people that do things subconsciously or unconsciously that maybe reflect some kind of bias. But systemic racism is when you have a law in a city that says you can't sit at a food counter. Systemic racism is things that are intentional in the system. And those have been done away with. I can't think of a single thing that's in the system that's...
Okay, let me just take play devil's advocate for just a second and just say, I think, obviously not speaking as a black man, but I think that they might say, so they're talking about members of the black community, well, listen...
Who believe in systemic racism.
Who believe in systemic racism. I get pulled over for driving while black all the time. The Senator Tim Scott, you know, the senator from South Carolina, said his first year in the Senate, he got pulled over 6 times by the police. Lindsey Graham, on the other hand, said, I didn't get pulled over once. So I would say, I'm not arguing, I don't think we're a racist country overall, but I'm saying from the perspective of people in the black community, they might say, that seems systemic to me, that the police, okay, I'm not criticizing the police, and I'm not arguing with what you're saying.
Right.
I think just because Jim Crow laws don't exist, I would think that black people would say it goes beyond that.
Yeah, as a writer and as a reporter, I guess words, the definition
sure,
of words, I kind of dig a little deeper into those. But
systemic. Now, listen, there are measurables that we can look at that would defy the idea that there is systemic racism against black folks in America today. For example, the most popular music in the country is rap. The vast majority of artists who rap are black males. And that's hugely popular with white kids. Now, I'm not a rap fan myself. I'm from a different generation. But I'm just saying if you say, okay, well, if we have systemic racism in America, how could 6% of the American, probably 1 or 2% of the, that is, black males ages 15 to 25, be producing, have the most popular music, more popular than country, more popular than rock, mm-hmm. more popular than pop? And so that says to me that, at least in the world of entertainment and music, there's not systemic racism. Contrary, there's whatever the opposite of that is.
There are a lot of people who don't want anybody looking too closely at those statistics, because even within, like, for example, the police structure, if you dig down into the data about how many whites are killed by police, blacks are killed by police, the police deaths versus black-on-black crime, you start bringing facts like that up, and it really does destroy the whole BLM narrative.
Look, the wealthiest woman in the country, well, at least from a woman who created everything for herself and succeeded in the American dream, is Oprah Winfrey.
Sure. Right.
And she was doing this in the 80s, right? Or the 90s, at least. I don't know when she got started.
Probably the 90s.
Okay. So you're telling me the most popular television talk show host in the history of our country is a black woman.
With a lot of white fans, you're saying.
Yes.
Right.
A black man was elected president of the United States twice.
Yeah.
And he was going against white men. Now, I didn't vote for him because I don't agree with his politics. I'm talking about President Obama. Mm-hmm.
But I would vote for Tim Scott.
Every day?
Yeah.
All day. So it has nothing to... You can't tell the left that. They say, no, you're racist. But anyway, we know that we would vote for a black man or a black woman if they had the right core beliefs and...
Right.
So... I'm just saying that those are just a couple of three examples that come to mind. To me, the vast majority of professional athletes in this country, at least in basketball and football, are black folks who, guess what? Their salaries are paid for by a majority white America who goes out to watch them play, supports their team, or watches them on television. That would be true of scholarships provided to African-American athletes at a college level, which are disproportionate to the population by far.
Right.
Huh? Imagine if we had affirmative action in the NBA.
I wouldn't watch it.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I might have a shot.
I don't.
I'm just saying. But then you get people like LeBron James who say that the NFL players are playing for slave owners, basically. Okay? Because they have to stand up for the national anthem. Did you remember this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then he has, but he's still, you say that and you're going, these guys are getting paid, I don't see them quitting.
Right.
Okay, I think they like cashing the paychecks while they call the owners slave owners. So anyway, I could go on and on with examples of how this country is not systemically racist. There are racists in America today, and there are on all sides, and there have been ethnic rivalries and hatred since, guess what, the earth was created and man was...
Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Which is why when you have something like with Louis Giglio and Lecrae and Dan Cathy, that's when you need to have the gospel. I mean, this is, you got to point people to Jesus when you have that opportunity and not...
Shine their shoes?
Well, you know, not... I said it would have been a whole lot more meaningful rather than Dan Cathy getting on one knee and shining Lecrae's shoes for 15 seconds, okay? It would have been a lot more meaningful if he had washed the feet of Lecrae and then Lecrae had gotten down and washed the feet of Dan Cathy, because that's what Jesus told us to do. And I think when Christians have the opportunity, they shouldn't be pointing to a secular view of where our problems lie. They should be pointing to Jesus, and they should be pointing to sin in all of our hearts and not giving the kinds of demonstration that we saw at this church gathering.
I didn't notice it. Somebody told me that when Dan Cathy came over to Lecrae to shine his shoes there for 15 seconds or 30 seconds, that Lecrae said, "I wish I could get some Chick-fil-A stock."
And Dan Cathy didn't say anything.
Did he say that?
Didn't say anything. Well, that's I read the comments. I didn't see the video. I just read what
he
said.
That's not a very somber moment of
I think he was kidding.
Lecrae was kidding. Oh, sure he was. That's fine.
And he's probably uncomfortable.
I'm just saying.
He was probably uncomfortable and probably saying, listen, more than do this.
Right.
Why don't
you really want to show me how much you love me, give me some of that Chick-fil-A stock. Don't shine
Well, he didn't, as far as I know. Maybe he did later.
Anyway, here's hoping Lecrae can sometime in Wyoming find products for his hair.
I was in this
kind of oppression.
I went to Wyoming one time and went to a CVS and could not find pepperoni grease for my hair.
Well, there you go.
That's the way
there
Italians do
that,
it.
That needs to be addressed too.
That's right. And it is a little tough during the summer with the flies. But
all right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to today's issues.
I shouldn't make fun. I'm just in a bad mood. I've been in a bad mood for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's okay. I think you're coming around.
Yeah.
Steve.
How about a good news story? That's some good news, yeah.
No, forget it. No. I don't want you pulling me out of my bad attitude.
you just pull up your Eeyore music.
That's right.
Tim and I will talk about this. The pro-lifers in Tennessee are on a good and a very good mood.
This is a good story.
The legislature there passed what's called a heartbeat bill, which is a pro-life bill. It says that you cannot perform an abortion if you can detect the heartbeat of the baby. And the bill also requires an ultrasound to be conducted, and it would prohibit physicians to perform abortions based on sex, race, or disability diagnosis, which would save the Down syndrome type babies. And so Governor Lee, Republican governor, has promised to sign the bill.
That is good news.
It is good news.
Yeah.
And as science continues to advance in showing us the personhood of unborn children, the pressure is going to continue to grow for laws to change. And I don't know how long it'll take, but more and more, it's getting harder and harder to deny that is a person in the womb.
How this bill, this law does after its inevitable court challenge will have a lot to do with how the Supreme Court rules on a pending case before them. A pro-life case, which is, people are a little worried given the recent track of Roberts and Gorsuch and such, that who knows?
Right.
But we are still waiting for that. And if they show themselves to be pro-life, that's a huge victory and a backing for a law like this.
Amen. And talk about racism. Let's get back to something negative.
Okay.
Talk about racism. Let's just talk about Planned Parenthood and all its clinics that they put in black and otherwise minority or poor communities.
Right.
They don't mind killing black babies, unborn babies in the womb.
They're still prosecuting their founder's eugenics.
Margaret Sanger.
Margaret Sanger's eugenics policy.
And that's all I'll say about that.
There you go.
Okay. What else we got?
Hey, anybody a Green Bay Packer fan? Brett Favre was talking. And he said that Colin Kaepernick, the kneeling quarterback who kneels during the national anthem, should be considered a hero, just like Pat Tillman, the Arizona Cardinal, who retired or left the NFL and declined millions of dollars in pay to go fight in Afghanistan for his country and cost him his life. But they're equally heroic.
Probably the majority of Packer fans would disagree with Brett Favre on that one, but I don't know that for sure.
I might start calling him Brett Favre.
I think that's that's way off in a comparison to me. Now, what Brett Favre is saying there is what Drew Brees basically said, and I guess most of the NFL, Roger Goodell included, that looking back, Colin Kaepernick was right to kneel during the national anthem and to complain about America.
That's what they're saying.
Because look, his cause was proven to be valid. That's what they would tell you. Because of what happened in
Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis. And they would say other things too. Again, I don't know that most Americans understand where Colin Kaepernick's coming from and what he believes. It's far beyond. It's a Black Lives Matter Marxist view of the world.
It's going to be interesting.
That's what Colin Kaepernick believes and promotes. It isn't just let's end police brutality against African Americans. It goes far beyond that.
It will be interesting to see what the reaction is, ratings-wise, TV-wise, attendance-wise, because I think Goodell has lifted his prohibition of kneeling at the national anthem. I think we're going to see an awful lot of that.
Did he even have one?
What's that?
Did he even have one?
Have one what?
A prohibition against kneeling.
Yeah, no, there was a rule that said that he said that they couldn't last year and before, that they required the players to stand during the national anthem. I think he's taken that off. So when America sees a lot of people, a lot of well-paid athletes kneeling for the national anthem, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with attendance and TV ratings and therefore income for the NFL. Just saying.
Well, is Dr. Fauci even going to let football back?
Well, he might not. Commissioner Fauci is kind of pessimistic.
Fauci.
pessimistic about the season, indeed.
Yeah, old Anthony Fauci. Now, that's one Italian I'm not sure I claim. I'm not sure I can claim. Tony Fauci. Tony Fauci.
Oh, man.
Donald Trump called.
Is Tony. That what he calls it?
Tony.
Yeah, he calls it Tony. Okay, Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Bad Attitude Ed.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. See there? See what I have to deal with, people? No, I'm just kidding. Thanks for joining us on the program today, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.